brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, it's sippin' time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 1:59 and three quarters.
Nope, 3 a.m.
2 a.m.
3 a.m.
3 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh man, I can't stay up that late.
Time slot. Yeah,
that's past my bedtime.
That's why we're the best thing then, because most people are asleep.
Well, actually, if I usually go to bed at 2, but by 1, yeah, by 3, I wake up, you know, to go to the bathroom. So I guess that I can do it then.
Yeah.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
When you said bourbon show, you had me all in. Thank you.
When I said alcohol, I had you all in. Yesterday, I said barbecue judging, and I had you all in.
Oh, we were all in.
Yeah, six hours of driving. I'm in.
Yeah. I'm in. 6 hours of driving. Yep.
And Made Man Maury.
Good morning. Excited to be here with a very, very interesting lineup of unusual bourbons.
And good old boy Justin.
Good morning. A morning drinking whiskey. Cannot beat it.
Beats working for a living.
So. Hair of the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Beats working for a living. So. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else you can drink. So here are the whiskeys that we're going to be discussing today. From Hirsch, we have the Hirsch Bivouac Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We have the Hirsch Cask Strength Straight Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. We have Kentucky Owl's Takumi Edition Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Woodinville Whiskey Straight Bourbon Whiskey Muscatel Finish. Yellowstone Family Recipe Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. And from Ragged Branch, we have a few. We have their Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Rye Whiskey. We have the Virginia Straight Wheated Double Oaked Bourbon. And then we have the Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Bourbon Double Oaked. So we're going to have Justin tell us all about our sips ratings.
So today, we have brought Red Fox back from the dead to talk to you.
Well, we are going to be talking about a Muscatel finish, so.
Exactly.
He always told Lamont to go down to the store and get him a bottle of Muscatel, so.
One sip. Lamont, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Gangadin, water. That's some promise.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. This is interesting, but what was this again?
Interesting.
Four sips. Lamont, let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Five sips. Esther, oh my God, I'm having a heart attack. Oh my God, I was unaware anything would be this good.
Nah,
you asked. Oh my goodness!
Yes! Yes!
Wheezy, yes! Baby, I'm coming for you. It's the big one. It's the big one. Grady, help me.
Yep. How could you possibly do Red Fox and not even mention Grady? Grady was the backbone of that damn show. I'm sorry. Grady was the man.
He was, but he was an unsung hero.
Yeah. And Aunt Esther, oh, that was a mean woman. All right, so let's move on after that. Yeah, I do miss Red Fox, though.
Yes. Funniest man ever.
Oh, him, Elvis and him were best friends. Him and Elvis were tight. Later on, like, he hit trouble and had to declare bankruptcy and everything. Those heartless bastards.
Which one?
The heartless bastards, the IRS, took the Rolex that Elvis had given him. It's like, Elvis gave you the, like, oh, man.
And who ended up with that?
I don't know, but
post it on Facebook.
I'll tell you, if I had money and I was of age at that time, I would have bought that thing at the auction and given it back to him.
Yeah.
Your class act, Bob.
All right. So let's go on to our first whiskey, and we're going to have Maury tell us all about that one.
Thank you, Bob. First whiskey is the Hirsch The Bivouac Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 50% ABV, 100 proof, non-age stated, 160 barrels per batch. The bivouac refers to a temporary camp without a tent or cover. It alludes to a way of travel only meant for those who want to truly immerse themselves in nature.
I just stay in a hotel.
Hirsch The Bivouac honors those adventurous spirits who are brave enough to take on the road less traveled. The Bivouac combines two straight bourbons distilled in Bardstown, Kentucky, the world capital of bourbon. 95% of the blend is distilled from a mash bill of 74% corn, 18% rye, 8% malted barley, and aged 3 years and 2 months. The remaining 5% is distilled from a high malted barley mash, 72% corn, 13% rye, 15% malted barley, and aged for 8 years for added complexity. Like their previous releases, the packaging was designed by the award-winning company Stranger & Stranger. They are the folks behind the unique and innovative look of Compass Box. The flask-shaped bottle features a wooden top cork stopper and the compass marks, while the label features a color scheme that evokes a nautical map and other visual references to travel and exploration. The base of the bottle hides a message for the curious: no stone left unturned.
Oh yeah, it's there. Look. Yep. Pretty cool, huh?
Very cool.
It's a Stranger & Stranger, I think, probably the most innovative people when it comes to bottle design and campaign design. I mean, what they've done with Compass Box is just second absolutely stunning.
Yeah, this is nowhere near what Compass Box is in terms of the elaborate and complexity.
I mean, it's beautiful packaging. Compass Box is like
another world. Yeah. So this whiskey has a beautiful copper color. On the nose, initially I got a lot of alcohol. All I really got was
You're sitting next to Brent. I mean,
fumes of, just, of alcohol.
Leaches out of his pores at this point.
That's my pores.
Well, that's blown off a little bit. I must admit, the alcohol vapors really overpower anything that's discernible on the nose. As far as the palate goes, it's a really nice whiskey. It's got a really nice mouthfeel. It's got a beautiful viscosity. It's got typical notes of, you know, burnt toffee and burnt sugar, hint of oak and vanilla. Finish is relatively short. I think it's an interesting whiskey. It's very well made. It's not going to win any major contests in terms of being your favorite, but it's definitely an easy drinker, easily approachable, and I really thought a relatively nice effort. What did you think, Justin?
So on the nose, I definitely got a note of envelope glue, but that blew off after time. And then I got green grapes, rye, brioche bread, and a little bit of cinnamon on the palate. Spice, more cinnamon, which blew off over time. Oak, evergreen, and caramel. And I found the finish was hot and long in the beginning, but after letting air do it for a while, the finish shortened. I don't know why, but that was pretty good.
Envelope glue disappeared after I licked it.
You know, I got an interesting aroma of a steel horseshoe, a piece of rope, and a plastic water bottle container. You're like, where does he come up with this? I swear.
Oh, that's why you put the water in plastic. No wonder I got plastic water bottle container. Can I please request my water in a glass?
Here's the problem. From now this on? Is why he's doing it. He's sniffing the glue.
Yes.
Okay. I've been sniffing the glue for a long time, my friend.
Yeah, so
that's why I'm an expert on all glues: Elmer, wood, envelope,
PVC pipe, cement,
pipe, cement,
airplane glue. Yeah, it's it's an interesting whiskey. It's well put together. I get brown butter and honey, and some kind of slightly dusty oak on the nose, and on the palate I get brown sugar, I get burnt toffee, I get a bit of a coffee note on the exhale. kind of a mocha, kind of a coffee note, like a latte, kind of creamy coffee. Yeah, interesting whiskey. What do you think, Brent?
It is interesting.
There is a hint of coffee on the exhale.
Yeah. Just when you breathe out. Just like after you take a sip of a latte and then you exhale, that's it.
It's just a weird combination of flavors to deal with initially. You know, you have that, I got a honey and
that's
rye.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I got honey and rye, but then, you know, I got the coffee. I got vanilla, pepper, a lot of oak. You know, it's...
For those of you in radio land, we're spraying each other with water bottles.
No, I'm getting sprayed with water. That's all.
It's not you, it's me.
We're just trying to see if you can keep a straight face while you're talking about this whiskey.
No, for me, I don't think it's one that I would drink straight. I think it's more one I would put with a mixer. You know, so I know you guys say that I never mix anything.
I was about to say, when did that happen?
Well, hypothetically, if you weren't going to drink it straight,
right.
I gave him a 40-year-old Macallan and he mixed it with 7-Up, so that doesn't really mean a lot. But
well, it's still good. Just made the best 40-year-old Macallan and 7 ever.
Yeah.
We got a little rule back home. If it's brown, drink it down.
It's a 40 and 7.
Yeah.
It's not 7 and 7.
Yeah, but on the palate, really, the oak and the pepper came through for me the most. That was what I took from this one, but...
I found this one not to be quite as young as the next expression. I really thought that their cask strength came off much younger, whereas this whiskey had a little bit more maturity to it.
Unlike everyone at this table? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you think, Bob?
Well, I already did mine. It definitely an interesting... Yeah. Right in the toilet. We've already gone. What are we? 11 minutes in. So, an interesting whiskey.
The second show.
They've done a couple of different releases, and they've all been very different. So that's, I've kind of enjoyed that. And again, their packaging is pretty. So we're going to rate the Hirsch Bivouac a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, we're back, and we were just discussing the Hirsch Bivouac. We gave that a well-deserved 3 sips. So we're going to move on to our second whiskey from the guys at Hirsch, and we're going to have Brent tell us all about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This second whiskey is the Hirsch, the Cask Strength Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 63.5% ABV, 127 proof, non-age. Woohoo, for sure. To create this expression, the folks at Hirsch selected 54 barrels of the 6-year-old bourbon distilled and aged in Bardstown, Kentucky. These barrels were then transferred to 30-year-old Hein cognac casks for a further 18 months of finishing. The bourbon used in this expression had a mash bill of 72% corn, 13% rye, 15% malted barley. The color on this one is a much darker, you know, copper color that you're getting, older copper penny or something. And, you know, on the nose, I got like old cherries, just a lot of fruit, a lot of citrus, a little bit of like a vanilla ice. You know, when you get that shaved vanilla ice, you get that smell that comes off of it.
Do you drink this when you're cruising in your 5.0?
Oh, I must.
I'm just saying.
You know?
Ice, baby.
So on the palate, the first thing I thought when I tasted this was like, whoa, wow, this really hits you. And I was like, this is like a, because of all the fruit that's in it, it's like a sangria that you made with bourbon and on steroids, you know? So it really kind of hits you. The fruit is really overpowering. The proof is overpowering. is overpowering. It tends to have a long finish. You got that. It's just fruit, hard dried fruits that come through.
The fruit actually, if you put a little water in it, the fruit actually comes a little more forward, even more.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yep.
Justin, what do you have for this one, Justin?
I would say stop, collaborate, listen. Now, I really love this. You took some six-year-old Hirsch bourbon, which I'm sure on its own was fine. I've never had Hein cognac cask, but
it's Hein XO. Yeah, it's a very good cognac. I probably got some around here somewhere.
This just blew me away.
Really?
Blew me away. I love these dusty notes.
We have medication for that, you know?
Yeah. It kind of, what amazed me about this is it had like this dusty quality to like a lot of the older pre-prohibition bourbons that I've had before. And I got that note, and I love that note, and that's a rare note. Usually I got to spend an arm and a leg to get it.
It's funny that you thought it had this dusty old note. I thought this whiskey tasted young.
It's
older than the other one, but for me, it just came across as just young.
Maybe the cognac note, because that's aged, brought forth age for me.
Yeah, maybe.
And the palate had like some vibrancy, and then the finish went right back to the
dusty.
Maybe
it's that week-long pair of underwear you've been wearing that added some age to your profile today.
There's no doubt about that. What'd you think, Bob?
He's not wearing underwear. He never wears underwear.
Well, at least he wears pants.
You know, I don't wear pants.
Brent does not. I wear pants and underwear, exactly.
Like in stripes when Bill Murray goes up. He goes, chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. And when I do, it's usually something exotic. So, I definitely get the cherry notes on it. On the nose, before I added water, I got lemon meringue. That was the thing that I got on top of the cherry. I definitely get the fruit. On the front palate, it's kind of a fruit bomb. Stone fruit. I get a little bit of that juicy fruit, kind of jackfruit. I get a little bit of a raisiny note to it.
And the water definitely turned it into a fruit bomb. Honestly, water, I couldn't really pull out all that much fruit, but wow, the water fruited it up.
Oh, yeah. Like it's a fruit salad now.
Like I said, it's a sangria so it's not, doesn't have all the characteristics of a bourbon to me.
And then I guess what it's missing. On the back, I get like a green pepper spice, almost like a sort of a vegetal jalapeno kind of green pepper spice on the back.
Yeah,
on the exhale.
A green jalapeno.
Yeah.
It just burped some, and I got all jalapeno.
Yeah.
God damn it. I thought that was the dog. I didn't know it was your burp.
Yep.
Jeez. Stuff we got to put up with.
But
jalapeno,
you know,
burps.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I not quite as much as him, but I thought it was a step up from the first one, definitely. So, but you know, it's a group vote, so you know, it's, you know, majority rule. So, we're going to be rating the Hirsch Cask Strength Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey 3 sips.
Interesting.
And Justin's like, you guys are so wrong. So let's go on to our next whiskey, which is from Kentucky Owl. It's the Kentucky Owl Takumi Edition, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 50% ABV, 100 proof, no age statement. The Kentucky Owl Takumi Edition is a collaboration between master blenders John Ray from Kentucky Owl and Yosuke Yahisha from the Nagahama Distillery in Japan. This limited edition release was meant to showcase Kentucky bourbon through the eyes of Japanese blending techniques. John Ray selected 4 different whiskeys to send to Japan, and Yahisa evaluated these samples, which represented different ages and mash bills available from Kentucky Owl. He then created different blends with these formulations to develop the one most reflective of his Japanese whiskey style. Through his blending skills, the Nagahama Distillery has earned awards from the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, the International Spirits Competition, and the World Whiskey Awards. John Ray has previously served as Four Roses Chief Distilling Chief Operating Officer, and he was inducted into the Kentucky Bourbon Hall of Fame in 2016 and served as chair of the Kentucky Distillers Association Board of Directors. So let's take a taste here. So on the nose, it's rye bread. It's just rye bread all day long. It's like walking into a bakery as they're pulling the loaves of rye out of the oven.
Yeah.
And then it's got underneath it kind of a sticky kind of dulce de leche kind of note to it. And a little bit of fruit. And on the palate, let's have a taste here. On the palate, rye bread, caramel, apples, pears. There's not really much in the way of tannin on it. But again, when you have a Japanese blender, I pretty much expected that to be gone. But it's got a really nice mouthfeel, coats the tongue and the roof and the sides of the mouth. A little bit of cinnamon on the back palate and a medium finish. What did you think, Brent?
Yeah, you can see where they tried to incorporate the two styles together. You can really see that with this. We were fortunate enough to be up in Kentucky when they had the release party for this. And it's intriguing of how they did it. Mm-hmm. You know, the process that they use. So they're not trying to be a bourbon. They're not trying to be a Japanese whiskey, but they wanted some of the qualities of both of them to shine through. And I think they've actually done that with this. When you say that rye, I get like a rye bread with cherries. Like, why would somebody do that? But, you know, you're combining two different things. And on the palate, that rye bread, the cinnamon, a little bit of caramel from that you would get from a bourbon, and some pear that you would get from a Japanese style. I think it kind of works for them. I mean, I know they're trying different things, and this is nice.
Well, it's interesting to see them apply the Japanese techniques and blending styles to American bourbon to see them how it affects.
Right.
The bourbon, you know, how can you turn bourbon into something with a Japanese style to it? And they have, you know, they absolutely have. So it's kind of hard when you judge this. You can't judge it on a regular bourbon because it's not a regular bourbon. Right. You can't judge it on Japanese whiskey because it's not Japanese whiskey.
Right.
It's sort of its own little, it's on that line, and it's straddling the line. But I think they did a really good job with it. I think the blender really did a great job with it from, you know, him to be able to coax this all out of it. So, and then when we were at the event, we got to see the pictures of the new distillery that they're working on. So hopefully that'll be up
Kentucky
and running.
Yeah, the Kentucky Owl Distillery, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty, so.
Yeah, very much so.
What do you think, Justin?
So, you know those packs of cinnamon, not that cinnamon, the peppermint sticks, and they have like the different flavors? This was like the red cinnamon peppermint stick for me.
No, Brent knows nothing of those. He had a horrible childhood, and his parents didn't love him. So thanks for bringing that up. Now look at him. He's over in the, now he's in the corner and he's crying. I hope you feel better. Yeah, good for you.
Well,
good
I'm
for
you. Criminal defense lawyer, so of course I feel nothing. But I did get that buttery rye bread note that you got on the nose and the finish. I think it was really cool. They tried something totally different. And I think they accomplished what they tried to do. So, well done, Kentucky Owl. What do you think, Maury?
I agree with you. I think they accomplished what they set out to do. I would argue that it's a jack of all trades, master of none. I would have rather had a more robust bourbon or a more robust Japanese whiskey. And to me, this is a compromise. And so, while I think they accomplished what they set out to do, it just fell a little bit short for me. I think it's well made. I applaud the innovation. I applaud the effort. I think it's a great made whiskey. But honestly, I just felt like it was a
compromise. It's not for everyone.
Yeah,
it's
I think definitely
it was a compromise all the way around.
I think it fell short what it could have been or what it could possibly be, you know? I mean, and because it's a combination of the two, I don't know that they were really meant to be combined and as a mainstream item. So this is it's not for everybody. It is for a lot of people, though.
It's, you know, if you're a fan of Kentucky Owl, it's a must have, right? Because, you know, you want to have one of each release. And yep. I think, again, like we said, we all think the same thing. They did a really good job with what they did. It may not be a style that appeals to, you know, everyone, but I think they did a good job. And if you like Kentucky Owl, absolutely pick one of these up. Sure. You're not going to be disappointed.
So. Right.
We're going to write the Kentucky Owl Takumi edition a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next whiskey.
Can't wait.
So,
oh, yeah, you can wait. Come on.
Next whiskey we're going to talk about is about Muscatel.
It's a Woodinville Whiskey Straight Bourbon Whiskey Muscatel Finish. 50% alcohol by volume, 100 proof. It's aged 5 years. Mash bill of 72% corn, 22% rye, 6% barley. The bourbon is finished for several months in a 10-year-old 200-gallon Muscatel de Setubal pipes. Muscatel Setubal is a sweet, rich, fortified dessert wine made primarily with Muscat de Alexandria grapes grown on the Setubal Peninsula in southern Portugal. Fans of our show have heard us discuss Woodinville in past episodes. Woodinville Whiskey Company was created by two friends with the guidance and mentorship of the legendary Dave Pickerel. Rest in peace.
I miss you, Dave.
He told us to get a better job if we couldn't afford the whiskey he made, and he was right, because
he should have done that.
Yeah. Their grain is grown exclusively for them on the Almlin family farm in Quincy, Washington, matched and distilled in their distillery in Woodinville, Washington. The new make is then trucked over the Cascade Mountains to their aging warehouses in central Washington. So the color of this is light. The nose is dried apricot and orange peel.
What? Like Oompa Loompas?
Don't drink this alcohol at home, kids.
You racist bastard. What's wrong? You don't like Oompa Loompas? You hate chocolate? Is that it? You chocolate-hating commie bastard? I'm
pretty sure I saw the Oompa Loompas on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I've managed to get canceled from everywhere the same shot.
Yeah, now you've been canceled from Loompa Land.
Yeah. Great,
awesome.
Candy ginger. It's
our biggest market.
I'm sure it is. Clove, cinnamon, licorice, and spearmint on the palate. I got some honey, toffee, vanilla, dried fruit, citrus notes, candied nuts, clove, and a little touch of fennel.
And that's a mouthful.
And the finish, to quote another show, dynamite. I loved it. What'd you think, Maury?
Well, it's hard to follow that intro. I thought it was an interesting whiskey. I can't say that I've had too many Muscatel finished whiskeys. The color, I love the color. It's a beautiful burnt copper. I agree with you about the apricot and the orange peel and the ginger and clove and cinnamon on the nose. Again, interesting nose. The palate was a little sweet for me. Again, I did get all the things that you talked about, especially the dried fruits and the ginger and the candy nuts and clove. I thought the finish was relatively short. It's an interesting whiskey. I think it was fun. I think it's innovative. I think it's really cool. I think if you don't have a Muscatel finish in your collection, this might be the one. I'm just not sure Muscatel and bourbon work super well together. I love finished whiskeys. This was not my first choice of a finished whiskey, but I think it was fun. I think it was interesting. I think there's nothing inherently wrong with it. It just didn't really match my typical flavor profile. Brent?
Yes, it's not my flavor profile. That apricot kind of takes it away from me, takes away, I think, the, you know, you want to have something enhance your bourbon. I don't know that this enhanced it and went well, blended well together.
You apricot hating bastard.
I know that. I know that. And it's just, for me personally.
Apricot lives, Justin, matter too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Justin exactly. loves it. I'm you're on racist. The other end of the spectrum. I don't care for this one.
You're definitely on the spectrum, my friend.
I mean,
I've been saying that for years.
We've had a lot of the Woodinville products.
And they're fantastic, very well made.
And I don't know that this one improved the product. You know, when you want it, when you're finishing something, you want to say, yes, we finished it and it improved it. For me, it did not improve it. I don't, and by Justin, it did improve it. So
I would agree with you. I didn't really compare to some of the other Woodinvilles we've had, but if I'm going to be honest, I would say that the Woodinville whiskey in general is better than this.
Is very good.
And this,
yeah.
And this particular finish probably dropped down the quality overall and the flavor profile for me compared to the base spirit. Maybe. Normally, you'd hope that the finish would enhance it.
Maybe the Red Fox fans will enjoy it, you know?
It's better than straight Muscatel. I can tell you that. That improved the Muscatel.
Yeah. So, that's not saying a lot. It had to when you have a good bourbon to go in it, you know, then has to improve the Muscatel, so.
You guys are dumber than a box of hair.
I swear.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I got to agree with Brent. We've reviewed several from Woodinville, and every time we get a new one from them, they're all excellent. I mean, they're doing a great job. They're knocking it out of the park with pretty much everything we've ever had. But I think the problem here is the cast they picked. I don't know if this is representative of, you know, everyone that they had. I don't know if this is representative of the style you're going to get from a Muscatel de Sebidemo barrel. If it is, then again, we've had whiskey finished in every kind of thing you can imagine. And like, how many times have you had like a tequila finished bourbon? And every time I look at it, I go,
yeah,
it doesn't work. I don't care how good the whiskey is. It just doesn't work. I don't think that this is a good combination.
Lamont, I file protest.
I mean, maybe there's another bourbon out there that goes better with Muscatel, but I don't think so. I just don't think it's a, I don't think it's a good combination. I think it's more of a, we kind of picked this because that was what was available and let's give it a shot. And I think they did the best they could with it. It's not, you know, it's well-made whiskey. I just don't think it's a combination that's going to appeal to most whiskey, to most bourbon drinkers. So we're rating the Woodinville Muscatel two sips.
Well, isn't that nice?
We'll be back.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation of riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back. We were just talking about the Woodinville whiskey, but we're moving on to our next whiskey of the show. So we're going to have Maury tell us a little bit about that one.
Thank you, Bob. Our next whiskey is the Yellowstone Family Recipe Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 50% ABV, 100 proof, 6 years old. This new expression from master distiller Stephen Beam was inspired by a recipe for the original Yellowstone bourbon found in notes from Stephen Beam's grandfather, Guy Beam. Using this recipe and using yeast cloned using DNA from a yeast jug belonging to Beam's great-grandfather, Minor Case Beam. So this is an interesting whiskey. It's got a very nice burnt copper color to it. On the nose, almost get a little scent of spearmint, but it's a little bit of a medicinal quality to the nose, a little bit high on the alcohol. It kind of singes the nose hairs a little bit. On the palate, it's a pleasant whiskey. It's got a little hint of brown sugar and cinnamon and all the usual. Again, I get a little hint of spearmint on the back palate. It has a medium finish. It's a nicely made whiskey. It's not going to really set off any alarms in terms of running to go get it. It doesn't really differentiate itself well from a lot of other things. I would say it's well made, no inherent flaws, but nothing really kind of stands out to me about this whiskey that makes me want to run right out and buy it. What'd you think?
Yeah, they haven't differentiated themselves from any other whiskeys. This one seems to be a little bit more
ordinary.
Yeah, ordinary. For me, it's a little bit of corn forward on the palate. It's got some of the bourbon notes to it that you get with all of them, but nothing says, hey, I need this one more than I need this one or whatever, you know? So, I mean, if you're just picking a bottle off the shelf and you're looking, yeah, get this one, but there's nothing, like you said, all the flavors that you mentioned are there, but it doesn't.
Just doesn't excite you.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Right. You know, so
Justin, what did you think?
The story in the bottle are more interesting than the bourbon itself.
I agree. The heritage, the history, the Beam family. It's got a lot of interest. Of course, Yellowstone's been in a brand that's been resurrected. And so for those reasons, it's cool.
Yeah. It's got a great label, got a great bottle. The bourbon is good. I mean, it's just, Justin?
Well, imagine you're in the Old West, 1880s, 1890s, and there's a bottle on the shelf that just says whiskey on it. And you have that shot. It's going to taste like this. I definitely get these old, dusty notes. It's not transcendent. It's not delicious, but it's definitely whiskey. And to me, it's definitely old whiskey. That old yeast cloning thing, I think that worked. It's just not something that we're used to drinking now. What'd you think, Bob?
Look, this isn't a Romulan labor camp. I don't have to answer your questions. I don't give a damn what you think.
Take that. I think it's, again, it's a really interesting whiskey. I'm with Justin in the fact that, you know, getting the old yeast strain, I think, is bringing back sort of that old school flavor that we may not be quite accustomed to. Because it's definitely different. You know, there is definitely a different flavor to this. But does it stand out? Is it, you know, elevated? I don't know. This might have just needed some more time in the barrel. I don't know. On the nose, it's got sort of a waxy, putty nose to it. On the palate, it's some, the oak is rather tannic. It's a little dark. It's got burnt brown sugar notes to it. Again, nothing, you know, no inherent flaws in the whiskey. It just doesn't, again, it doesn't just step up and wow you. But I think maybe they're on to it. You know, I think this might be the first step in resurrecting the actual old Yellowstone with their yeast and figuring out what they need to do to make it to that end. So I think this is a good start. And again, solid whiskey all around. You know, wouldn't turn it down if you poured it for me. You know, well made. So we're going to be rating the Yellowstone Family Recipe Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to have Brent tell us about Ragged Branch.
Thanks, Bob. So Ragged Branch Distillery is located in the Virginia countryside, about 15 minutes outside Charlottesville, Virginia. It's founded in 2010 by Alex Toomey, a farmer and developer, along with friends Chris Sarpy and Russell Nance. With the assistance of the legendary Dave Pickerel, the Johnny Appleseed of American craft distilling, they developed the foundation of their bourbon process. A true farm-to-bottle distiller operation, they grow 100% of their raw grain on the owned or leased land. They believe that this allows the grains to absorb the minerals unique to the local soils, which contributes to a taste distinctive to the area. Their water comes from a deep well on the property. They ferment their mash for 4 days and distill in their 500-gallon common-built Vendome combination custom still.
Custom built, not common built.
Yeah, well, common or custom. You know, they're all the spirit is aged. The spirit's aged to maturity in new charred American white oak barrels on the property in their own rickhouse before being bottled on site. And in a further commitment to their farm-to-bottle philosophy, they also sell their Ragged Branch bourbon, beef, prime cuts, and hamburger from their own herd of cattle. raised at Ragged Branch and their nearby lease site at Pounding Branch Farm. The cattle are fed with the residual mash from the distillation process. Two members of the team, each with an agricultural technology degree from Virginia Tech, oversee their cattle operation to ensure delivery of only the finest quality beef. I want some of that beef.
Where's the beef?
When Johnny brought the bottles over, he didn't bring any meat. I'm just saying.
I think it's not fair to discuss the bourbon without the beef that was made from the cows that ate the fermented mash.
I'm pretty sure a big steaming ribeye right now would make these much better.
These would be great, you know. So this first one is the Ragged Branch Bottle and Bond Virginia Straight Rye Whiskey, 50% ABV, 100 proof. 83% rye and 17% malted barley. The color is it's beyond a copper. It's kind of a goldish copper kind of color, dark gold copper. On the nose, I get black tea and tobacco, and I kind of think that that's the region they, you know, from their farm.
Yeah, that's their signature.
I think it's, you know,
like the Bean Peanuts and the Dickel's,
Vitamins,
and everybody has their tag.
So this area where they're getting it from, with the water that they're using, the products that they're using, I think that is the common. On the palate, I get tobacco, cinnamon. I get some like a buttercream icing on it, you know, that's there as well, besides the everything else. The finish is, you know, it's a medium finish. It's nice. It's got a nice mouthfeel on this. Overall, I love where they're going with this. You know, this is not your, you know, for a straight rye, you know, you have that 17% malted barley. I think, you know, I think they might play around with that in the future. You know, but overall, I'm enjoying it. Justin?
I enjoyed it a lot. I think it's got one of the best rye noses I've ever had. It's like classic.
Nothing can compare to your nose.
Well, thank you. And it was great.
I don't think his nose is all that great. It smells.
Well, that's all it needs to do is smell.
And the palate also is a classic rye, and it had a great finish. I think they did a really good job with this one. I wouldn't be surprised if it was 95 or 100% rye, but I understand that it's 83 rye and 17 barley, but I think they did a really good job. And I did get that black tea note that you guys were talking about
too. I get Earl Grey. I mean, that's Earl specifically Grey. On the nose. Yeah. This one, I mean, the others I get black tea, but this one I get Earl Grey.
Right.
And I get like damp tobacco. I mean, if you've ever been in a tobacco barn where they're hanging the leaves,
this is that area. This is that area for that. The old tobacco
comes out which is really cool, because when you think about it, where's it coming from?
They're trying to show
it's coming from tobacco country.
Right, so they're trying to show the heritage of that area, you know, of what their heritage is. The
terroir comes through.
So I agree with you. I think I'd love to see this whiskey again in another 3 or 4 years. I think this whiskey, for me, it's a little bit young.
It's a little young.
Beautifully made. It's well built. I agree with 100% of what you guys have said, and it's really cool that it showcases the terroir, and it comes from tobacco country, and you get the tobacco on the palate. I would love to see this whiskey in 3 to 5 years.
I'm looking forward to the whiskey that they're making now that's going to come out in the next 3 to 5 years, because they've changed some things in their process. We had Johnny Foster come over for dinner one night and brought the bottles, kind enough to bring us the samples. And they've changed the barrels. They went from number 3 to number 4 char, and he's went in and instituted some changes, some things that work good for them at Old Scout. And I'm sure he's learned stuff that they're doing that, you know, that would have maybe been, you know, changed the way he had done it back in the day. But, I mean, it's a well-made whiskey, really seems to show terroir, got a nice flavor palette to it. Another couple of years, it's only going to get better. So I think they're well on the road to success with this one. So we're going to rate the Ragged Branch Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Rye Whiskey a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
All right. So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next one from
Ragged Branch.
So now we're going to talk about Ragged Branch Virginia Straight Wheated Bourbon Double Oaked. It's 45% alcohol by volume, 90 proof. It's made of 68% corn, 16% wheat, and 16% malted barley. After aging for about 3 years, the whiskey is transferred to new number 4 char American white oak barrels for an additional year. So they've made some interesting choices. That wheat really comes through mostly on the nose for me. The expression does come through a little young. But I think that after the three-year aging, the transfer to the white oak was a good move. It gave it a little bit more character. On the palate, honestly, there was a off note which dissipated after a half hour leaving in the glass. And then it was nice and balanced. And the finish, which was off after a half hour, finished nicely too. And I thought it was decent for what it was. What did you think, Maury?
I actually concur with you, Justin. It's well made. There's no inherent flaws. For my palate, it's a little young. It's a 4-year-old. I like where they're going. I like the way they make stuff. I love Johnny Foster and some of the ideas that he brings to the table. And I know that this thing's going in the right direction. I think that was probably his influence to then re-barrel it and age it in the number 4 char white oak. And I think that's really helped it. I suspect it was not nearly as good prior to that. Again, I'd love to revisit in a few years. I think there's nothing wrong with it now. I think it's only going to get better. I think the future is bright for them. Brent?
Yeah, this is basically a double oaked bourbon.
Yeah, you went from a white oak 3 to a white oak 4.
Yeah, so I think they see that they needed to bring more of that characteristics out of the bourbon that they're making there. And I think probably that the number 4 did a little bit of that. Like I said,
I would like to see them amp it up and even just dump the 3-year into a number 5 char and just, go for the gusto.
Yeah. Probably be too much, for finishing.
The age, or toasted, go toasted.
Toasted would be interesting, yeah.
Or go toasted, it would be an interesting way too. But yeah, the age on this, and I know they know it as well, like they wanted to get their product out there. I'm sure they have to try to recoup some of their costs and stuff. And so they want it out there and now you have a point where you can see it age as it goes on in years. Like you see its progression, like we've seen with some of these other distilleries, how they've progressed over the years, and we're looking forward to that as well. Okay.
All right. Well, we're going to rate the Ragged Branch Virginia Straight Wheated Double Oaked a well-deserved 3 sips. So let's move on to our last whiskey, which is the Ragged Branch Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Bourbon Double Oaked, 50% ABV, 100 proof, 68 corn, 16 rye, and 16 barley. And it's 4 years in American white oak barrels and then transferred to number 4 char barrels for an additional year. So on the palate, it's got a nice creaminess on the nose. On the palate, I get dry oak, a little bit of caramel, a little bit of dark, almost burnt toffee. Yeah, this one I like better than the last one. What do you think, Brent?
I agree.
It's a step up. I agree. It's because this one's the bourbon. I enjoy this one a little bit better.
Also a year older.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's made a big difference.
You can see the progression right here.
It's the difference between a wheated and a regular. And for me, wheated always needs more aging.
And wheat is always softer as well. So.
Right, so you've got one that's aged a little longer, and it's non-weeded, and it really just, it shines. Yep. And so it's what I've been saying all along, which is give these whiskeys a few more years, and they're going to be knocking it out of the park.
Well, we're going to rate the Ragged Branch Bottled and Bond Virginia Straight Bourbon Double Oaked 4 sips. There you go.
That's classified.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Always love some bourbons.
Thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another exciting day in the damp, dark, drippy basement.
Well, it's only drippy when you're here. Okay. Yeah, drip. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, and thanks for listening. We are the luckiest people in the world to be able to talk to you about whiskey.
Well, that's pretty much it for us for today. So for Sip, Suds, and Smokes, this is Made Man Bob reminding you, thank you for joining us and reminding you it's life's too short to drink bad whiskey, so don't.
I won't add anything. I won't.
Well, you've drunk bad whiskey too, pretty much. You'll drink whatever's available.
Yeah, but
if it's brown, Brent will drink it down.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.